All right. We thank and praise God for all of you that are here on tonight. As we move on into Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. As you are going there on tonight, I'm going to just briefly go over a recap of some of the highlights from last week. On last week, we outlined the things that accompany salvation. We talked about the concept of possessing our possession, which is the difference between having been given something and actually taking ownership of that thing. That was powerful. We talked about being accepted in the beloved, that with God, none of us are a mistake. Even if our parents say, "Oh, we didn't plan on having you," that didn't mean that God didn't plan on having you, and that God wanted us and that he came after us. Praise God. And finally, we talked about how the Holy Spirit is the down payment of all the things God has promised to us, demonstrating that he is serious about us. And I'm telling you, that is still just rolling over in my spirit. I got happy about it today at work. I was like, "Lord, thank you." It just amazes me. It amazes me. So we are in Ephesians chapter 2 on tonight. I don't think we're going to get past verse 10. I don't think we're going to get past verse 10, but amen. Let me read for the sake of the recording. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." We are in Ephesians chapter 2. Now verse 3, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace we are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Praise God. A lot in there, a lot in there. So beginning with verses 1 through 3. Verses 1 through 3. You he hath quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, who all knows who that is. Y'all know who the prince of the power of the air is. Okay. "The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So I want to tackle just some things, because this group of scriptures, I believe, is talking about salvation and being saved by grace. So that's why I lumped these 10 together. So I want to tackle this verse, though. What does it mean to be dead in trespasses and sin? What does it mean to be dead in trespasses and sin?
You have no more part with it.
Amen. You have a part with it, right? Is that what you say? Okay. So we don't want to have a part with trespasses and sin. Amen. But what does it mean to be in trespasses and sin?
To be in.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. You know, like
Right. 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 That's your life. That's what you are. That's what you are doing. You're just living life really without God. Say again, Mother Pat. In the condemnation of God. Under the condemnation of God. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. And so you can be, you know, physically alive and walk around, but technically, if you haven't accepted Christ, you're just dead.
Mm-hmm.
In
mm-hmm.
sense, because people think, oh, I'm living, this is life. Mm-hmm. But truly, you're not.
Right. Amen.
And, so I thought about that too. Mm-hmm. Just walk around and they think, oh, I'm, you know.
Yep. You
haven't accepted Christ. You're nothing.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Sister Carolyn. So the state of being where we are living without God. Mm-hmm. You're just living without God. And we are fulfilling our own desires, following the world. That's what Ephesians 2 says here up here at the top. And I love what Mother Pat said. Just you're under the condemnation of God at that point. That's just how that's what is truly happening as those people who are dead in trespasses and sins. Let's go to let me ask you this. So what does it mean for God to quicken us? This is a word that is found just sprinkled throughout the New Testament. What does it mean that for him to quicken us?
To make us alive.
To make us alive, spiritually alive. We see this word in here in Ephesians. We see it in Romans. We see it in Hebrews. He is making us spiritually alive. We're coming alive in God, in Christ. Amen. So in Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 15. Really? I guess so. Okay. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He does not belong to Christ. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Now, y'all, I could have a whole entire revival just on that. I'm not kidding. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, OMG, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Do we understand how powerful? This ain't got nothing to do with what we're talking about in Ephesians, but maybe it does. Do we have any idea of how powerful this is? If the Spirit of God that hovered over the face of the deep dwells in you. Oh my God, y'all. OMG. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. He will quicken our mortal bodies by his Spirit. Now, listen, I believe that is in totality, not just our spirit, but our body. It says our mortal body. So if we need our physical bodies to be quickened, brought alive, hallelujah, if we need restoration, Mother Aura, if we need some kind of creative miracle, praise God, the Spirit, that's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, hallelujah, glory to God, yes, God. So verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify, do kill, that's what that word means, do kill the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So my question is, after as we have seen what the Apostle Paul has said here in Romans chapter 8, how does sin separate people from God? How does it separate people from God? What does he tell us about the carnal mind and deeds of the flesh? It says it will always be at war with the Spirit of God, because it will not ever want to do what God wants to do. Our flesh, our carnal mind, it will never, ever want to do right. Never. And that's why it's so important for us to bring that mess under subjection, to bring down those thoughts. Praise God. Make them mine. What did you say, Sister Carolyn? Mind your mind and make it mine. Make it mine. We have to bring those thoughts under subjection. We have to say, flesh, you are not the boss of me. Amen. Praise God. Because it, and let me tell you guys something. I've been saved pretty much all my life. But you know how it is, right? You get off somehow, you get out, you know, you make the wrong turn somewhere. And that thing begins to eat you up like, oh, why did I do that? You know, how did I fall for that? You know, and I was just thinking about it one day, and God let me know from this scripture here in Romans, girl, listen, your body is never going to want to make the right turn. Set yourself, you know, because I was like, God, why doesn't my mind want to do what you want it to do? It's not ever going to. You have to take control of it. And let me tell you, that has freed me, guys. It may seem like it's kind of like a oxymoron, but just knowing that it has freed me from ever thinking that it's going to happen. And that it's not, you know, it's not him up in heaven waving no wand over me. I have to take responsibility. We have to say, okay, we're not going down that road. We're not doing that anymore. Praise God. So, how does sin? And nobody can make you. Bishop can pray till he blew in the face. He can want it for you more than you want it. But until we want it, is that all right? We have to want it. Now, let me tell you this. I do believe that our prayers availeth much. I believe that. So if we have family members and they just wayward, and, you know, husbands and spouses, they just don't want to do whatever. I believe our prayers, when we really are praying with love and from, you know, from the heart of God, it might take a minute. It might not. It might. Mother Pat said it might.
Sometimes circumstances or situations may happen that we don't exactly want to happen. But when God's will, whatever happens, hey, that if whatever gets your attention, and I'm real quick, mm-hmm. I say that to say, I've said this before, it's been some time ago, but I had an auntie, I thought she was just nuts, because she was walking up and down the street, her lips was moving, because her husband would go out and stay weeks at a time with other women. And I didn't know when I start, you know, accepting Christ and start maturing, and now more so, I said, I know what she was doing. Mm-hmm. She was just praying to God.
Yes.
Giving it to him. Well, it didn't end up the way maybe I thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, come back home,
right.
It ended up where something bad happened, and ended up going to a nursing home.
Wow.
But, you know, whatever happened, like I say, whatever way it goes, my aunt was like, I'm just going to pray and I'm going to give it to him because it's out of my hands.
That's right. You know? And I love that example, Sister Carolyn, because sometimes we can pray in a certain direction thinking that that's what, but maybe that's not what happens because we all have a will. We all have a will. So God's not, we're not using our prayers as witchcraft. Let me go on and be strong with that right there. Because everybody has a will. But what our prayers will do, it will pull back the enemy, praise God, to give that person time to make a decision. Does that make sense? It will keep the enemy off long enough. Hallelujah. So guess what? The longer you pray, the more you pray. Oh, my God, the more faithful we are in our prayers, the more opportunities God has to deal with that person. Praise God. Praise God. But still, sometimes they got a will. And so what do I say in that? Because I lived it. God, thank you for rescuing me. Thank you, God, for rescuing me. Hallelujah. We cry a little bit and then afterward, oh yeah, God, you rescued me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is good, y'all. Amen. Amen. Yes. Mother Pat, you said a whole entire word. Yes, ma'am. God is doing multiple things at the same time. So no matter, so what you're praying for, and isn't that something? Because we are thinking we know what to pray, right? And we're praying, and God is in the mix, and he's, and we're going to get to something similar to that here in the end, but he is working that thing and working that thing. And just like Mother Pat said, this thing had to happen, and so that thing had to happen, and it caused that thing. It's like domino effect. This thing has to happen, to chain reaction. That's the word I'm trying to get. So, and it's just like that in the spirit, but we have to be prayerful. We have to be prayerful because God will not do anything in the earth except we pray it. I'm telling you. I know people say a lot, why did God let this happen? Who has been praying? Am I wrong, y'all?
No.
If we are not praying, God, why do I say that? It's Bible. He gave the earth to the children of men. He gave the earth to us. So he's not going to go against his spiritual law. He has to work through us. Now, isn't that something? You would think that has tied his hands. No, that has freed us to be like him. That's the point all along. He wants us to be partners with him. So if we're not praying, if we're not being prayerful, yes, sir.
Everything is wonderful in heaven, and it can be like that on earth if enough people would have faith and believe that and pray that on earth.
Yes.
You know, the scripture says, on earth as it is in heaven.
Yes. Yes.
And if we pray that, co-jointly, if enough people pray that, things will begin to happen.
Yes, sir. And we've seen that.
Right,
we've seen where we've joined together and we've prayed on one accord and God does something miraculous in our lives. I understand that sometimes the pressure gets so to where we get discouraged or what have you. It doesn't seem like it's happening as fast as we thought it's supposed to happen. So we allow those things to discourage us, and what we do? Let up on it.
Yes.
But just like Dickie Willie said, if we stay on it, pray that as those things are in heaven, that they be the same here on earth, that thing is going to manifest. It's going to happen. Praise God. What is the deal? We have to stay on the wall. We have to, like I said, bring those thoughts under subjection. Because guess what? Guess what the enemy is not trying to let you do? Pray that heaven comes to earth. So what is he going to do? He's throwing all kind of distractions. He's trying to throw all kind of, oh, over here, starting fires everywhere, trying to get you off so that you're not praying that way. Is this making sense? Are we okay, Bishop? Okay. Praise God. So I'm going to jump back. Well, we were in Romans 8, but I want to jump back a couple of chapters to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. So, the Amplified in that verse 6 says, we were still helpless, powerless to provide for our salvation. Wow, okay. So what, down a few verses, it says in verse 8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why is that significant, that Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners?
Show the love of God.
Amen. Shows the love of God.
He sent his son here to demonstrate and overcome sin and give us a demonstration on how we should follow him to overcome sin the same way.
Amen. Amen. Deacon, does that mean that we can overcome sin the same way?
We have the power.
All right. We have the power to. What is he trying to say, y'all? We got to use it in order to do it. Amen. Amen. So Jesus was our model. He overcame sin. Holy Spirit in him gave him the power to overcome sin. So we have that same example and the same empowerment if we use it. Okay, if we use it. That's good, Deacon. So what is significant about Jesus dying for us while we were yet sinners? We were powerless in ourselves to produce righteousness, right? So if Jesus had to wait for us to be righteous, we would have never got the promise, right? Is that clear? And God allowed this, and this is similar to what Deacon said, God allowed this knowing that some would still reject it.
Yeah.
How powerful is that? Because how many of us, any of us, going to give up something precious to us knowing somebody going to reject it?
Yeah.
I'm not doing it.
Right. It's a waste.
Yeah, because we think it's a waste.
Yeah.
But God said, no, I know that A, B, and C not going to get it, but I know LMNOP going to get it. Woo, thank God.
Yeah.
That because he didn't know, because he knew that not everybody would, but he knew that we would.
Right.
Glory to God. Isn't that something? Thank you, God. So we're going to hop back to Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And the Amplified reads this way: For it is by grace God's remarkable compassion and favor drawing you to Christ, that you have been saved, actually delivered from judgment and given eternal life through faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, not through your own effort, but it is the undeserved, gracious gift of God, not as a result of your works, nor your attempts to keep the law, so that no one will be able to boast or take credit in any way for his salvation. Now, that sounds pretty clear. Does that sound pretty clear on where salvation comes from and how it's granted to us? So it sounds clear when we read it here in Scripture, but why do some Christians still believe their salvation is the result of some personal effort? Right? You're going to go to heaven if your skirt's long enough. You're going to go to heaven if you're not wearing makeup. You can go to heaven if you're not wearing open-toed sandals. A friend of mine from college, he's a member of a certain denomination, and he called me with that. And I said, wait, what? He said, the men can't wear open-toed sandals. I said, Jesus wore sandals? What are we doing right now? What do you think Jesus was wearing? We had a good laugh about it. But you see what I mean. We just come up with all this stuff thinking that this stuff is what saves us.
Right.
Even in the face of this very clear scripture that says none of that is what does it. None of that is what does it. So I read something in Max Lucado's book, and I sat back and I said, man, that is so good. Let me see if my eyes are going to cooperate since I forgot my glasses today. Okay. So Jesus was God's model of a human being, ever honest in the midst of hypocrisy, relentlessly kind in a world of cruelty, heaven-focused in spite of countless distractions. When it came to sin, Jesus never did. We, on the other hand, have never stopped. We are dead in trespasses and sins and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. We have nothing good to offer. Our finest deeds are rubbish and rags before a holy God. One of the most stinging indictments of humanity is found in Isaiah 53:6. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us turned to his own way. This is an unpopular yet essential truth. All ships that land at the shore of grace weigh anchor from the port of sin. We must start where God starts. We won't appreciate what grace does until we understand who we are. We are rebels. We are Barabbas. Like him, we deserve to die. Four prison walls thickened with fear, hurt, and hate surround us. We are incarcerated by our past, our low road choices, and our high-minded pride. We have been found guilty. We sit on the floor of the dusty cell, awaiting the final moment. Our executioner's footsteps echo against stone walls. Head between knees, we don't look up as he opens the door. We don't lift our eyes as he begins to speak. We know what he is going to say. Time to pay for your sins. But we hear something else. You're free to go. They took Jesus instead of you. The door swings open, the guard barks, get out, and we find ourselves in the light of the morning sun, shackles gone, crimes pardoned, wondering what just happened. Grace happened. Christ took away your sins. Where did he take them? To the top of a hill called Calvary, where he endured not just the nails of the Romans, the mockery of the crowd, and the spear of the soldier, but the anger of God. I thought that was powerful because when I sat back, I said, wow, we are literally all Barabbas. Do we remember who Barabbas was? So Barabbas was the other guy that was in the jail. Now, Pilate, those of you who remember the John series, we talked a little bit about this, how Pilate did not want to do that. He did not want to crucify Jesus. He was trying to look for a way out of it. And to the point, it said that the reason he even chose Barabbas was because Barabbas was so low down, he thought that surely the people wouldn't pick this guy over Jesus. Isn't that something? It said he was a notable criminal. He was a troublemaker. He was a robber. He was a murderer. He was just low all the way down. And Pilate said, I got him. Ain't no way they're going to pick Barabbas over Jesus. And what did they do? They picked Barabbas. We are Barabbas. No matter how low down we have been, oh my God, God allowed Jesus to be in our place. Isn't that something? I think that would make anybody excited that he allowed Jesus, who was perfect, no sin, nothing in him was wrong, to be put up in my place. In my place? I know what I was thinking just yesterday. In my place? Isn't that amazing? Praise God. Praise God. So that God would allow us Barabbases to go free and allow his son to die in our place. Huh. All of us Barabbases, dead in trespasses, following the world, fulfilling the lust of our flesh and personal desires, but God. In Ephesians 2, he said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us, has made us alive together with Christ. Praise God. And I don't think this should ever get old, saints. I don't think that we should ever allow the sacrifice Jesus made to be stale, for us to hear somebody say it and we just sit on it like it wasn't anything. I think if we allow our minds to go to just that, I was in that cell. I was the low down one. Oh my God. And to hear God say, you can go. You can go. That's amazing to me. Okay, so we're going to finish these few verses here. Ephesians 2:10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So what does this mean that we are God's workmanship?
That he created us.
Amen.
And to do those good deeds.
Yes, yes. Praise God. Yes.
Amen.
Yes, yes. Now let me show you what the Amplified says about this workmanship. He says, for we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art. Isn't that, we are works of art, guys.
Yeah.
He says, created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he set so that we would walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us. We are God's work of art.
When I hear you say work of art, you know, I like art.
Yeah.
So when I think about artwork, it's unique.
Mm-hmm.
And it's particular.
Mm-hmm.
You know, per the artist.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And the deeds that he has set out for us is particular in that work.
Amen.
So that's how I think when I heard you say it.
That's beautiful, Sister Shannon. That's beautiful. We all have our own unique thing that God has put on us to do, right? Our own path to walk, our own task that he has tasked each of us to do. And it's beautiful. Isn't that something? I don't have to be all discombobulated about Mother Pat's wonderfulness. Is that a word? Because I have my own. I don't have to be discombobulated about Sister Carolyn's wonderfulness. I have my own. Isn't that nice? Praise God. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. But I know I keep mine in my Bible.
Oh.
And it says Carolyn Strong, Shannon, you know.
Uh-huh.
and yes. so on and so forth. So like she said, with that artistry, you just, you know, we all have our uniqueness.
Yes, so yes. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And so, Sister Shannon, when you heard that, that's what you received. When I saw that, I thought of Jeremiah 18. And this is going to be very familiar to a lot of you. Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 6. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, for there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." So when I think of God's workmanship, as I think of being God's work of art, I saw that potter. And and this is what excited me about this verse, is that it helped me to understand that God works with imperfect material. It doesn't have to be perfect for him to work with it. Do you all get that? In verse 4, it says that the vessel was marred in the hand of the potter. It was messed up. The Living Translation says that the vessel wasn't turning out how he wanted it to be. So if you know anything about a pottery and if you've ever seen that, it's on that wheel and they're spinning it and the shape's not getting to where they want it to be, they hit it down, they pat it down and knead it back and start all over. Now, to some people, that might be scary, that might be intimidating, but it encourages me to think that if I mess up something, if I make a misstep, the God's just not going to take me off the wheel and throw me in the trash. He's going to keep working with me as long as I keep coming back, as long as I keep coming back to prayer, as long as I keep coming back saying, "God, okay, I know I blew it. God, keep working on me." He's going to continue until that vessel is what he envisions for it to be. Is that good? God, it means to me that he won't give up on me. Isn't that a blessing? Thank you, God. So God told Jeremiah, "Can I not do with you as this potter? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you, DT." Ma'am? Yeah. If you mess up, he can still work with you. He's not trying to throw you away because he has an end in mind. I don't really understand why I'm so fascinated with it, but I am, like with construction sites, when I see them, when they put the fences up, right, and then they put the picture up, it don't look that ground don't look nothing like that picture. It never does. It's all tore up and the rocks and the everything, but they have this beautiful picture of what it's going to look like. And every day you drive by, and it's a little bit, and then a couple of weeks, ain't nobody out there working. Uh-huh. It's raining, it goes through snow. But all of a sudden, one day you ride down that same road, and that beautiful picture is standing right there. I believe with all my heart that's how it is with God. He is not looking at the dirt and the rocks. Oh, he keeps looking at that picture, that end result that he has envisioned for us to be. Isn't that good? Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So even when I do mess up, even when it rains and it gets muddy and all of that, he's like, "Nope. I know what this gonna look like." Woo! Okay, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
God. Yes, ma'am. He does not use our past to determine our future. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. It's wonderful, Mother. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Okay. Yes, Deacon.
This is from my
Yes.
Our spiritual makeup, he works on that. We have to have like humility. He grows that humility. He grows that forgiveness. He grows the mercy. He grows all the attributes that he has of his spiritual makeup to bring us into, I guess, like say, saints.
Mm. Yes.
You know, and we comprehend that a lot better, but it changes our mind.
Yes.
Our thinking, how we view other people and ourselves, what we should, practice.
Yes.
That humility, the characteristics of Christ is always on that, because it's not the outer life, it's the heart and the spiritual soul that goes to heaven.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. 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 And so he's the workmanship of that. And guess what? While we live in, this flesh is walking around.
Yeah.
So that is all of that beautiful thing that he's working on the inside of us is going to come through the outside of us while we are still walking around in this realm. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. Yes, yes, Deacon Bill. About to call you Dr. Bill.
What always amazes me is we're all made in the likeness and the image of God, but there's not one of us made alike. We're all different.
Come on.
We're all got different thoughts and individuals, but in Christ Jesus, we can all be one.
Yes.
And be led by the Spirit of the Lord, doing what God wants us to do. We can all be one, but as individuals, I mean, all around the room here, not there's not one of us. It's a life.
That's so good.
And in the spiritual, we're all servants of God.
That's good.
Our hearts are for God. And our lives depend upon Him.
Mm-hmm.
It's not me.
Wow.
But I believe in Christ Jesus.
That's so good.
Why do I live? And if I live to the flesh, or do I live to the Spirit? And like I've said this before, it's the one I feed the most is the one that does.
Yes, absolutely.
Because the flesh man, is, like you said, is always pulling at us every day.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're in God's Word and prayer and praise and thanksgiving, reading and praying, studying God's Word, let the Lord lead us.
Yes.
Instead of letting me
lead us. Oh, Lord. Amen. 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 Now, you said something real good to me, Deacon Bill. You said that we're all made in His likeness and image, but not one of us are all alike. And I thought of the snowflake. There is no duplicates. How many times has it snowed since creation?
Yeah.
What?
Right.
Us as human beings, nobody has my same fingerprint.
Right.
How many humans have lived on earth since creation? How powerful is that? How remarkable is that?
Yes.
Wow. Does that blow anybody else away but me?
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
That's a lot.
I can't even fathom the math in my head how many snowflakes
exactly
have fallen and not one of them are the same.
Never.
No human being has the same fingerprint. There are 7 billion people on the planet right now. We're not talking about what has been and what's going to be.
Right. My God.
Wow.
My God.
Workmanship.
Yeah.
Workmanship. God is an awesome God, Mother Pat.
Yes, He is.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. So, just like the potter, God can make us again another. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
We are His workmanship. We are His work of art. And what do you do with the piece of art? You showcase it, right?
Yeah.
The artist has a gallery showing, right? They put it all up on the walls with the lights just so, and you walk through and you admire its beauty,
yeah,
right? You display it and you invite people to come and look at it. We are God's workmanship. We are His works of art. We are His exhibit to the world of what He can do with a surrendered life. Come look at Sister Bobby. Come look at Sister Shannon. Isn't that good?
Yes.
My God.
Yes.
Okay. So we're almost done. We're closing with these these last set of questions, similar to what Joyce Meyer mentions in her book on Ephesians. Who were we before salvation? We were spiritually dead, we were separated from God, and we were followers of the world. But who are we now with salvation? We are spiritually alive, we're saved by grace, and we are seated in heavenly places with Christ. Who will we be? God's workmanship, examples of God's magnificence, and part of his great exhibit to the world of what he can do with a surrendered life. Amen. That is it for verses 1 through 10 of Ephesians chapter 2. Does anyone have anything? Bishop, do you want to say anything before we close tonight? Do you want to say anything before we close? Amen, Bishop.
Gone over completely and distinctly. And just one thing I was just thinking about, God specializing in rejects.
Oh, wow.
Ever since Adam and sin, God had to, see, we were born in sin.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of how good we try to be, we'll never measure up.
Yeah.
God has to make us what he wants us to be.
Yes, sir.
We'll never just evolve into
it. Wow.
No care how good you are.
That's good, Bishop.
When you mess up, God just fixes it for you. Because you can't.
Man.
You may try hard. You feel like you've really done something, but you didn't do what God did.
Amen. Amen, Bishop. I love that. God specializes in rejects. Praise God. All right. Anybody else before we close?
Did you touch on, you may have, but I was so consumed with this.
That's okay.
Yeah, it is. But you know,
I think we did, but I think I ran past it real quick. Yeah, we just talked about even though it's clear that it's by grace and that it's not something that we can work up ourselves, that for some reason some of us has this mentality that the length of our skirt, if we wear makeup or not, if we, you know, all of that makes us good enough for salvation. But I'm glad that you ask about it, Sister Carolyn, because it just went right out. That side of the head, what I was going to say. Come on. Oh my gosh. Why is it? Oh, because, like, especially here in the West, when people say things like, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps.
Yeah.
And they say stuff like, you know, if you don't work hard enough, you don't deserve it. I think stuff like that from culture seeps over into our minds as believers, and we start to internalize that stuff, making it sound like, oh, I have to produce, I have to perform in order to gain God's grace and favor. But no, that's not what it is. That's not how that works. That's not how that works. Amen. Deacon?
One of the things that stands out
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I believe that, Deacon, because I know for me personally, I'm not trying to see how much I can just get away with. Like, how close can I get to the edge before I fall out? Right? Really, truly. I know, you know, some people think, well, how far can I stretch this? So that makes me wonder, are you really? You know, I can't judge you, but are you really? But if we have a heart towards God, we don't want to do anything. We don't want to do anything that's going to take us apart from fellowship. We're not going. We don't want to do those things, right?
The Holy Spirit will correct you.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, he will.
That's good.
He sure will. Like Gina, really? That's how I hear the Holy Ghost in my ear. Really, Regina? That's what you think is about to happen? No, Lord. I guess not. And if you ever get to where you can't hear that voice, you're in trouble.
Oh,
we're in trouble. All right. Yes, Mother Pat.
The other day I was going down Kearney Street and I was going to do a good deed. And I was having a good day. And I was just chugging along and everybody's driving wild nowadays. You go down Kearney's up and down and up and down.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I was feeling so good about myself.
Yeah.
I was on the way to do a good thing.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, ma'am.
And I lost it, just like me.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And I haven't recovered.
Yes, yes. But
I didn't do or say nothing crazy, but I'm like, it was like a fire. Somebody lit the pile
of I do know, Mother Pat. I do know. Yes. Right. But you recovered. That's what I'm talking about, class. But we recover. We just working on the recovery time, Jesus. Yes, God.
That would make me feel better than us completely losing it. Because it was like,
yeah.
I'm so sorry. I feel horrible. If you don't, something is wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if I had the fleeting thought, oh, thank you, Jesus, I find that this is growth in my life, God. That's how I pray. Lord, I thank you for growth. Hallelujah. I thank you for growth. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, friends. I'm gonna stop the recording.